Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. Before a fair amount of introspection reveals something different, we believe that we are a single, unified entity. I'm me. I am me. I think my thoughts and feel my feelings. Upon closer examination, we begin to notice that there is more than one I making up me. Assignment. Review the conversation you jotted down about this issue and begin to identify the various I's having the conversation. One way to do this is to group similar statements. Find a word or phrase that describes each I. It's likely to be a quality or characteristic, RL what you see. Example, private. Why does he keep asking about my finances? How is it his business how much money I have? Suspicious. He's not concerned about me. He just likes having information. Feeling unloved. If he is concerned about my well-being, why can't he just say that? Why does he have to quiz me on money? If he really loved me, he would work out how to relate to me. Why do I always have to relate to him on his terms? Resigned. I suppose I should be grateful for any expression of interest. Rebel. I don't want to offend him, but I'm not going to answer his questions. Accommodating. Why can't you be more accommodating? Just given this time. All right. Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jan in the Bay Area. Hello?
Hello, Jan. Sorry, I was muted.
I thought maybe I was double muted. What I've seen so far in looking at all these voices, is that the overarching assumption, I sort of jumped to assumption belief, is that I know that what keeps me from receiving is that there's a belief that I know better, or I know something else, or whatever it is.
No.
That's what was coming out of what the conversation. And that really does blocks everything. It just is like a wall.
Yes. I could not agree more. And of course, that's, as you know, that's its whole purpose, right? It's an ego defense.
Yes, it definitely is. And I guess what I'm hearing back is that, well, that's just too simple. This is typically what I get. This is too simple, and you've really got to study this more. You know, you really have to think about it.
Yeah, that can't be it.
But so
that really is it.
That seems to apply to no matter how, whatever voice comes up, whatever character comes up, underneath that is that someone knows, something knows.
Yeah.
And so...
Yeah.
We aren't gonna accept whatever is being offered, and
that's right.
Even seeing what's being offered is not available then.
That is exactly so, and you've been practicing for a long time, so you can see that as the ego maintenance structure that it is, and the fun part about it is. That again, it's so clear because ego says, "I know," and ego is the only thing that would ever say, "I know," right?
Yeah.
And so, what we know is, no, it doesn't. Right?
Yeah. Yes, and I think it's been so helpful as we've practiced. Oh, I'm sorry. Were you going to say more?
It's just that the way we know that is very different from ego's knowing. The we know that ego doesn't know comes from an opening, not a closing.
Yes, and I'm just so grateful that over these years of practice that we've all been doing together at the year long that we've we've gotten to know that. We've gotten to see that over and over again. And yeah, it's so.
Well, and Jan, what's so good about what you're seeing in this is the global nature of it. So, because that's how, as far as I can tell, that's how what is so is revealed to us. So at first we see it in these little specific things. Oh, well, I was wrong about that. Huh, I tell you, I thought I was right. Okay, but it's an anomaly. You know, it doesn't. And then over time, as we look, we realize, whoa, there's a lot of that going on. And then we begin to feel what it feels like when I'm identified in that ego barricade of I know. As you pointed out, I'm just closed off. Don't even offer me anything. I know what I know, and that's it, right? And so we start seeing, well, this isn't a little in the situation sort of an ego defense. It's global. It's the border wall.
Yeah, and I could actually go to that feeling of I know when you as you went through that description, and that is my that's another indicator of what's there. And I just one other thing, and is that what I love about the year long is I went to something specific, you know, that I wanted to look at of why I resist my spouse's suggestions in the way that I do or how often I do, and that's what took me to the global. So I'm really grateful.
Thank you. That's another whole conversation that we'll have at some point, because that what you just said is enormous. That's for another conversation. Thank you, Jan.
Thank you. Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks, Jen. Now, Sherry, what I was looking at, what you were talking to Jan, is the reason the ego knows is it references itself. It's the only thing it does know. In other words, where it's looking is only itself. That's the knowing that it basically is referencing, right? The self-referencing mechanism.
And all of the past occasions on which it has known.
Right.
Not that it did, but that was the stance and that was accepted.
All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, good morning. It's Marianne calling from Vancouver.
Well, good morning, Marianne. What are you seeing?
Well, I've identified a few more personalities that get in the way of seeing what is there. So my looking at receiving, I'm choosing to look at what I don't like to receive. So that could be people, situations, events. And I see a part that is blind. It can only but I know that it's there because I can see it in them, so I know it's in me.
Okay, so you, as you noticed, you project from that blind aspect of you that there are other people who can't see. They just can't see whatever it is. And you don't want anything to do with those kinds of people.
I find it very hard to be around them. And, you know, it's like I'm not kind of accepting them for who they are.
Well, because, Marianne, this is enormous, right? Because if you accepted them, you would have to accept that you are that way too. ego is not interested in us getting to that place. No. If I can keep those people at a distance, I never have to face the fact that I'm projecting onto them. I don't actually know how they are. I just know how I am when I'm with them.
Ooh.
Well, I feel like there's a lot for me to see here. I have an intuition that there's some big stuff.
And
to
I will
see.
Support your intuition. Because truly, Marianne, it's huge. What you're seeing is it would explain all human relationships. Okay.
Yeah.
So what I like in people is what I like in myself. What I don't like in people is what I don't like in myself. And you know, we could spend a long time breaking down the who is that who's talking. and projecting and seeing that, but that's really not the point. The point is that exactly what you saw, that ego maintains itself through liking and disliking. That's how it keeps the structure in place for me.
Yeah, and it's
so,
just
yeah, you're onto something big.
It's not just people. It's, you know, events or whatever.
Everything.
I project onto all sorts of things.
Yes. So my teacher was fond of saying, people die of liking and disliking. And what you're seeing is exactly what he was pointing at.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping to reach some equanimity on this by the end of the month.
Yes, well, or go for clarity.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and let equanimity follow at its own pace.
Okay, thanks a lot, Sherry.
All right, thank you, Marianne.
Thanks, Ashley.
Go happy.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Marianne. That's such an interesting perspective, right, Sherry, that what is unacceptable in us is what is projected as unacceptable on whatever objects we happen to encounter, but the reason to receive that openly is because ultimately we're trying to receive all of life, not just this and not just that. And when you said that the ego structure maintains itself by liking and disliking, it's the I like and I dislike where I is maintained as a common denominator in that process, and the identification remains with that rather than actually identifying with everything, right? Which would put us in the identification with all that is, rather than just the me, which makes it's hard to describe, but it becomes the object, right? Rather than us experiencing everything.
Yes, and what you're describing is the equanimity that Marianne knows is what's available to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Once we accept everything. And as you're pointing, ego would say, well, that's them, that's out there, that's that stuff. I can't accept that. But when we start getting it, that no, there isn't any out there. There's only in here. So, yeah.
There's not even a question of accepting, because if it's in there, it's already there.
That's right. And ego can rant and rave and carry on all at once, but it's not. Well, that's what it likes to do.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Erin in Massachusetts.
Well, hello, Erin. What are you
saying? How are you? Well, so yesterday's call, I was trying to identify, like, my life and receiving and how I was going to think about that, and I was spending time this weekend thinking about how I receive positive things, but after yesterday's call, I started to see that I should probably be more open, like, how am I receiving positive and negative things, or is it appropriate to even identify what I'm receiving as positive or negative? Am I just simply,
Erin,
like, a vessel for
Erin.
Receiving?
Yeah, Erin, you're just going to go for all of the biggest questions in the universe with one exercise. So, those are incredibly good questions, and you will see the response to those as you continue to practice. But what I would encourage right now is what I think Jan was pointing us to, which is, just pick one thing. Just one thing, because when we get pulled into, well, you know, should I this, should I that, well, what about that, and how does that work, and it, we're just so conditioned to have ego pull us off into noodle land. And so when we stay with one thing, so for instance, one thing that you see as positive and one thing that you see as negative, and then you just explore that, and it could be one or the other, you know, one thing that you're told is a positive, and then just to be with that, and who thinks that, and what makes it positive, and how does that feel, and what do I project, and what does that mean, you know, not in an analyzing sort of way, but just being still with, just watching, just noticing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. I don't want to discourage you, because they are those are the questions of awareness practice. But it can be overwhelming if we don't break it down, kind of chunk it down into manageable pieces.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But I'm going to roll it back to what I was thinking about this weekend.
Uh-huh.
Which is smaller and manageable.
Yeah, smaller and manageable. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
And ego will do all the same stuff, because for ego, it's like a small child with adults. You know, everything that small child does to the child is a capital offense. It cannot tell the difference, because whenever an adult is upset, that is terrifying, right? And so it can't see that, mom or dad is having a bad day, has nothing to do with, right? And so ego is the same way. It sees everything as a life and death threat to its existence. So it's just trying to grab your attention, pull it into something with it all the time, all the time, all the time. Mm-hmm. So you'll get to see it all, even if, you know, if we go back to the get out of bed and pat your head three times first thing in the morning, we still see everything that ego has going with a simple little exercise like that. So we're not going to miss anything.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Erin. Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
And Sherry, the two things I was looking at there is, one, yes, if we're on this path, we could spend the rest of our life exploring, and we will, everything. And
yeah, we will.
We have to go look for things. Life will be very kind of giving it to us at all times. And going back to what you said about specificity and what Jan was pointing to, there's some way by which it's so important to continue to train ourselves to nuance, because there's so much information in the richness of an experience, and one of ego's tactics is to abstract it in that, I know, I've seen this before, or this is X, or this is my karma around X, and it's like we know what's going on, and we lose the information that's available in the richness of our experience to see through something, or look at something, or have an insight. And so that encouragement to be specific is really, really, an invitation on how to approach our process.
Yes, because not to give too much away here, but the whole point is to see the process.
Yes.
Right? You mentioned insight, and that's the whole deal, is to learn to be present with the insight, not to be present with ego as it cons us into trying to figure something out.
Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Ashwin, it's Jeff in North Carolina.
Hello, Jeff. What are you seeing?
So one of the things I was looking in this in this last assignment is, I love how it's framed in the, you know, the initial write-up to this section on receiving, the ego frequency, tuning to the ego frequency, or turning to the life signal. And I really just, it was just amazing to me as I, you know, was putting the labels or whatever we would call them on these things, and how many of them this time were fear, were afraid, you know, insecure, all worried, you know, but just, it just seemed, yeah, I mean, it could, there were even some things I was looking for, kind of words that I couldn't really find, just a, you know, kind of a deeper expression of fear. But anyway, but it, for more than ever before, it just seemed like that was, there was so much of that going on that, anyway, this, that, and so what, back to the, you know, to the write-up. So, you know, it just seems to me, okay, so that's what the ego is beaming. You know, that is its frequency is, you know, something's wrong.
Fear.
Yeah, something's wrong. I'm not okay. Bad things are going to happen. Life is scary. This is not, you know, and life is dangerous and all of that. And I need to be, so I need to be, you know, tense and on edge and doing, figuring out what to do about it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so that's, you know, all of that seems to be what ego is transmitting. And so when I was recording about that just before the show, I was looking at, okay, well, that's fine. I just need to become aware that that's what's going on. And, you know, just feel that, right, just feel what's in the body, feel what's right here, and see that's going on, and see it as a process, not as the content, but see it as this is just the ego frequency transmitting, and this is what happens when it does, and when
that's
I'm
right.
lost in
and
it.
And you don't ever need to see anything else about it.
Mm.
You don't need to come up with nuanced words. You don't need to explore the various applications and ramifications, and you don't need to do any of that. So when when I was a kid, we lived very near the end of an airport runway. Now, of course, I was a kid, you know, a long time ago. So it's not like living at the end of an airport runway now. But it was loud, okay? And it was loud enough that when people were in the house for the first time, they looked like they were shell-shocked, right? It was, what is that? Right? They thought the house was collapsing on it. And, of course, we didn't even hear it.
Yeah, right.
Because it was just how it is. And that's where you're going, Jeff. It is such a non-issue for you that it's simply a, oh, yeah, fear. Oh, yeah, fear. And at a certain point, you won't even have that label for it. Because that label is not, is inaccurate. And, but I, again, I don't want to give things away ahead of time. but that's where you're headed. And if you don't do that, think of it as that airplane taking off, right? If you don't do that, it'll keep you bogged down in trying to figure it out and see it and how do I, and what do I do when that, and, you know, you really don't want to do that. Because, again, it doesn't care. Whoa, we got an echo there. All it cares about is getting your attention. And that's what you want to starve it from, whatever the preposition is.
So I think what I'm hearing is, don't try to look deeper. Don't try to just recognize.
Nope.
Okay, this is fear. So right, and that's all I need to see. Well, it's again, like you're saying, that's a label, right? So this is some kind of ego thing going on. It's just an ego process.
Fear is ego. Ego is fear. Yeah, they are synonyms. They are one and the same. And what you want, the piece that you want to add to it, though, Jeff, is turn your attention to what you want instead.
Mm-hmm.
Turn your attention to what is really true. So there goes the plane. Do I really need to crawl around on the floor and scream? Or can I just go, airplane, we're fine.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so turn attention to the life signal which is the well-being, the presence.
That's
there's
it.
Nothing. There's
That's
own.
It.
There's nothing. There's
wrong.
No future. There's just this is it.
That's
right
it.
Here. Yeah.
This lung full of air.
Right.
This heartbeat. Here we are. Feet on the ground. Yeah.
Great.
All right.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Ashwini.
Thanks, Jeff. I think we have time for one more caller, Sherry. So here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, it's Ladima.
Hello, Ladima.
Hi, Sherry. Hi,
what are you seeing?
I am seeing that when I was picking a focus for the beginning of the session, which somehow I missed that step in the first two sessions, so I think I wasn't receiving the total assignment in the first two rounds.
That's all right. We're sneaking up on things.
Yeah, right. And so what I noticed, so I just decided, okay, I'm going to pick a focus. I'm going to use something, just whatever. Just need to pick.
Mm-hmm.
I picked one of the examples in the first assignment, which was a tendency to notice your flaws rather than your achievements, or focus on your flaws,
mm-hmm.
or focus on flaws rather than achievements. So I picked
mm-hmm.
that one. And then mm-hmm. somehow I forgot. And I got to thinking it was all about achievements, as if the focus was achievements instead of receiving. And so I'd sit down and I'd go to, you know, make those observations and write, and I was just thing after thing after thing about achievements, or lack thereof, and I had to keep stopping and bringing
yes.
myself back to, this is about receiving,
yes.
and I'd be
yes.
like, oh yeah, that's all.
Yes. Well, it's huge. It's huge, because what you're laying out is exactly how the process of ego maintaining itself, and getting to that place of the humility that's involved in recognizing, I can't remember this very simple thing that I realized not that long ago.
Yeah.
I can't remember it. It just goes away. How does that happen? Wow.
Yeah, I had to stop and think, saying, this isn't the focus. What's the focus again? And this was after I'd made the
yes.
recording and listened to it like two
yes.
or three times, and
yes,
I mean,
that is what we're up against. That is what we're up against. And as we understand that it's not unique, right? You're not the only person. Now, the voices in your head would like you to believe you are. There's something really wrong with you. Okay? Nope. That is exactly how it works. We cannot see it. It's really difficult. It requires tremendous tenacity. That's our weapon against this monumental force
yeah.
that has had control of our lives. Just
yeah.
stay with it. Stay with it.
Yeah,
and Ladima, pretty soon it'll be funny.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it will, but at first I thought maybe I needed to schedule an appointment with a neuropsychologist, or you know, to have my
yeah.
have my brain checked.
Have your brain checked. Yeah, no, not a requirement. We can save you all that time, effort, and money. You just stay with it and get to the point of, wow, this is humbling. You know, I think I'm a big deal smart person here. I can't remember this simple thing. And I was looking at it this morning when I was meditating, that thing that we kid about regularly, which is, ego comes in and says, you are getting very sleepy, right? And you do. It's like you're just gone. You just drift away. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then we come back. That's all we've got going is we don't quit. We don't quit. And we are infinite, and it is finite, and we will outlast it.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good.
Thanks.
All right. Have fun.
Yeah, I will.
Thanks, Ladima. And Sherry, that brings us to the end of another fun show. Here's our assignment. Our definition of a subpersonality or aspect of ego is a collection of beliefs, assumptions, and projections with a unique worldview and distinct language. Assignment. Take each of the descriptors from the previous assignment and begin to flesh out each I such that you can recognize each as a distinct personality. Write down the language each uses, what they project onto others in the world and you, and from that get a sense of each personality's worldview. As you work with this, make sure you stay on topic, confining the exploration to the specifics of what you're looking at this month, RL what you notice. Example, feeling unloved, believe that if you care about someone, you show them how you care about them in ways they want to receive that caring. Not bothering to tailor one's actions to another person's makeup is actually a sign of lack of interest and self-absorption. Feeling unloved feels abandoned because no one appears to care enough about her to get to know how she wants to be in relationship with them.
Yeah, and that that encouragement in that just stay on target, right? Mm-hmm. Because this is definitely one of those places where ego wants to just slide us off into another conversation. Yeah, so that's very fun. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Go happy.
Go happy.